We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm. You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Anarchy, it is another Sunday, man. I gotta tell you, it's one of those days, a little tech issue, just a little glitch right there at the beginning, the software not responding to the hardware, literally. But it seems to be okay now. Everything seems to be fine. So I guess we'll get this thing underway. It's Sunday afternoon. This is Toward Anarchy. I'm Michael Storm. As always, it's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate the time that we get to spend together, and I appreciate the fact that you tune in to the network and to me and to this show in particular. And I think I think it's a good thing for us to have these conversations. I don't think that there's anything wrong with talking about things and having the guts to ask the questions that nobody wants to ask. There was just this weird thing that popped up. There's a bunch of stuff that popped up just before the show as I'm sitting here in the last couple of minutes, and I'll be looking through the latest headlines, see if anything pops up, whether I mention or not. I do it. And there was just another study, just something people wasted money on. It was just political nonsense is what it really was. It was just a manipulation of ideas. It was suggesting that the reason that people share truth information, what some people call conspiracy theory, some of it true, some of it not so proven yet, some of it very obvious, but that the reason for sharing conspiracy information was because you wanted to create chaos. That's why people do it. And I reading through the study, just not trying to rehash the whole thing here for you, it just seemed to me, as most of these things are, they're flawed. They have a particular mindset going into their study, and it manipulates things. It changes the way they approach their creation of data. Just like I was talking about all through 2020 and what would happen with vaccines related to the COVID outbreak that happened, and all of that that I talked about, there was a splash of that in there, and it's great to be able to say that I didn't realize it because I've been distracted, but I restored the entire 2020 catalog for the show this last week up at towardanarchy.com, you go to look back at 2020, they're all back there. I didn't realize that some number of them were missing, and that's important because I had all through 2020, the same thing everybody else was talking about. I was talking about it too, but I was telling truth. I was telling conspiracy theories about the information, except that every time I turned around, the data that I presented, the questions that I asked before, the statements that I made about how, extremely factually about how they would collect the data on the vaccine. This is even before it's released. This is when they're just talking about it. I said this was how it was going to go, that they would manipulate the data, and I said how they would do it, and it's all there, and it's glorious to think that it's all back. I didn't realize that there was a big chunk of it missing, but it's all about this truth, and it just struck me as that they just use these faulty methods for collecting their data, and it's manipulated, and it's done so in disregard of reality. It's this. I liken it to it taking 100 people, sticking them in a room, and exposing them to something, anything. It doesn't matter what it is, something that they see and or hear, and they all have to experience it all happening at the same time. And if you take them and you quiz them all separately, you'll get 100 different descriptions of what happened. And that's the same kind of thing that they do with the manipulation of this information, the information that they collected, the data that they collected in this social experiment that they did to quiz people about why they post what some people call conspiracy theory. And it's all politically motivated. If you look at it, there's no real reference to conspiracy theories that are pretty well proven to be true. They may lack an absolute confirmation of the reality, but all of the data there suggests that there's at least something more going on than the common narrative. That to suggest that data, it's weird that they get away with it. As I think about it here, as I sit here and I think about it, it's weird that they get away with it, because it's so obvious to me that the data collection methods are very and politically motivated and politically driven, that there's not a lot of substance to a lot of these claims about social media, about conspiracy theory, about left or right, or anywhere in between. As long as it's on the political spectrum, there's a manipulation of the information that goes into what creates the division or keeps the division going within that political spectrum. And it's so obvious. I guess maybe you really have to be a critical thinker, and most of us probably aren't. We are for the things that we need to be. Okay, I think the dog just scratched it. So funny. My puppy is sitting over there in her luxury leather spot, all nice and comfortable. It went to scratch herself and caught an ear or something. Kill the yelp out of her. Go to towardanarchy.com and we'll see if we can expound on this at all. I want you to jump into the conversation, and maybe we'll get your impression on the manipulation of data underlying everything that's political, and that it's so obvious. And if you have to be outside the system to notice it, or if these people are just playing a little bit of a game on them with themselves. But if you go to towardanarchy.com, and as always, you can follow along from there. It's nice and easy. I make it real easy to do. Just click the episodes button, regardless of whether you're listening live or not. Just click the episodes button. Look for our October 2023. It's the 27th. You see, I'm inviting people into the conversation today. 512-248-8252 is the number if you'd like to jump in. And we can talk about anything. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. It doesn't have to be this manipulation. But that's an interesting conversation. It was just something, like I said, that popped up right before the show, and I just caught a glimpse of it and just sort of read through it and looked at the sort of methods and claims that they were making, and I didn't go look at the studies because it was two different studies. It was data on data, and you get tired of seeing the same thing over and over again. Just once, if my expectations weren't met, if it wasn't so obvious what I was about to read, what I was about to find out, based on just the synopsis of it, the quick read, if just once it turned out to be something different, then I would change my attitude about that. I really would. I would so much like to be wrong about the manipulation of information and data in the political system, but the news and in the places where the data is collected, in the scientific community, the so-called scientific community, in the so-called education community, these places where they gather the data and try to present it to us. And it's an interesting thing to sit back and watch people just accept it blindly. I'll give you a good example of that. Not that people are right or wrong accepting it blindly. That's not the point. I just clarified that, right, with my own line of thinking. That's not the point. The point is that when you actually get down to it, so many people aren't following up on the critical thinking part of it. They're not taking the time. They don't have the time. They don't want to take the time. They're not interested because they're politically motivated. That's a big factor right there, that last one. So if you follow along, if you go to towardanarchy.com, you look for the 27th of August, and always there's links. You can sign up for the email newsletter. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, and I don't know, we're on Instagram and Mayway, and it just, we're everywhere. TLB Talk, we're all out there. I don't use them all as much as I might, but that's just because I don't use the social media that much at all. And I just don't. It's so bad. It's because of the lack of critical thinking and the quick snaps to judgment. And so a perfect example of this is what a lot of people talk about, the World Economic Forum and the Agenda 2030 and various differences and changes in whether it's a particular agenda year or what that goal is. They talk about the cities of tomorrow and smart cities, and you hear these things all the time in our circles, in the truth circles, in the conspiracy theory circles, the places where people are actually looking to find out the truth. I hope this is what I'm discussing, right? The lack of critical thinking on the part of a lot of people who are presented with ideas like this. Here's something that just doesn't happen when there's great people out there doing great work. I've had some of them on the show talking about some of the agenda in these cities and the planning for the future, planning for tomorrow, and the manipulation of governments and data and the ubiquitous nature of data and what they can use it for and how they can use it to program the smart cities. That's all tied together. And these cities of tomorrow, so there's lots of people talking about them, but there's only a few people really sharing the information. They're making it a point to not just mention that there's an agenda, to not just make a claim, to not just post the video of their favorite podcast of somebody talking about it, but to actually go and say, well, okay, so who is it that made the claim? Well, it's the World Economic Forum. All right, well, I'll go to the work at World Economic Forum and see what the claim is. It's very frustrating when you do – this is one of these Orwellian things. It's a fantastic thing if you've been a fan of the show for going back years and years, not just this current 5-year run, 4-year run that we're on here, but back before – One of these things that I would catch all the time is them altering information in that Orwellian sense, where they're collecting the data and they're changing it. They change headlines, they change information in the story, and they wouldn't do the simple thing, which was mark that it had been edited. And I watched that for the longest time. And let's see if I can find this here. This was a link that I had pulled together. Okay, so one of the claims, right? The World Economic Forum what's his nose over there, scumbag running the thing, and them talking about the how we'll have nothing and we'll like it. You know, that's, you'll have nothing, you'll own nothing, and we'll all love it. Well, at one point, I had actually grabbed this. It was their predictions for the world in 2030 from the World Economic Forum, and it's their agenda. It's what they're working on. It was part of their agenda, and it was from this time in 2016, at least this particular iteration of it, and it's gone. It's just gone. The link is there. I have no desire whatsoever to trick somebody. In fact, I've been down that road playing a little experiment. Some of it played out on the air here. A lot of it played out over social media over the years that I regret. It was just stupid. It didn't work out, and I just made an ass of myself ultimately in the end. I'm playing a stupid role in it, and that's never my intention. My intention in all of this is to spread good information, and I collected this link, and I don't know why I didn't use it. Let's see, when did I first collect it? So it was over a year ago, and I just never got to it. So what was happening is I was going through files last night. I do this every once in a while just to try to clean the things out. I have a sort of today folder. It's not an everyday thing. If I use a computer every day, it's to check email and play video games. It's not to concern myself with things that I can't change, listen to people I don't like, and hear about things that are ultimately plans to rob me. And if I don't go along with the robbery, cage me and murder me. I go through and I'm deleting the links, and I come across this one, deleting links, images, notes, guest contact information, just all stuff that I've used or didn't use, don't see any use for now. The timeliness of it has passed. Something like the 2030 agenda of the World Economic Forum and the New World Order, the Illuminati, the people that control it, the people that are behind it, the governments, the 1%, the less than 1%, those people. Looking through these links, I came across this one, and this is one of those ones. Oh, well, this is never going to change. They came out with this information. They presented it. They've talked about it. It's been a part of their agenda for a long time. It's still a part of their agenda. If you go to the World Economic Forum's website, weforum.com, .org, I'm sorry, and you can see all of their agenda. You can see all of the things that they're talking about. They're very open about it. That's one of the things, right? They have to be open about their plans. Well, for whatever reason that they do it, they make it very open. It's probably just so they can share information. That's the easiest way to do it. And you can recruit people. You can get people on board if they're behind the ideas too. And you know, the devil's in the details. They don't worry about details. They don't concern themselves with individuals. They don't concern themselves with particularly individual rights, unless they're a pre-programmed set of rights. You have the right to a house, and you have the right to government-provided food, and you have the right to government transportation, and you have the right to government. Those are the kind of rights. I'm not talking about natural, legally recognized, God-given, whatever you want to call them, rights of any real use. Oh, I hear the music. I hear the music sticking. All right. Well, I will tell you about this link that's not there anymore. We'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your host Michael Storm.
Okay, as I was saying, go to towardanarchy.com, look for August 2023, it's the 27th, and there's links there. And so when I found this link that I shared, it was because I was missing another link. There was this predictions for the world in 2030. It was on the World Economic Forum's website. It was under their agendas. It's from 2016. I can tell you the exact date. It was 8/11/2016. It was a direct link. The link doesn't exist anymore. That document is gone. But while I was there, I said, well, let's find another current document. Let's take a look at that. And let's give the information out there that people can go and look for themselves. If you've ever wanted to know what the World Economic Forum is talking about when they're talking about the cities of tomorrow, these smart cities, these pre-programmed designed cities that are supposed to make life just wonderful for all of us little rats, I mean humans, see for yourself. Find out. It's there for your consideration. And as opposed to have the link disappear like this other one did on me, which I would have loved to have shared that, but it makes for a great story now because I'm going to keep that link forever. I'll keep that link forever. It doesn't exist anymore, but that link tells me exactly what it was, when it was, where it was. They can't erase the history. They can erase that file. It's gone. It's probably somewhere else. I'm sure most people who kept this, you probably use a Wayback Machine or something like that and find the thing. But it's just, it's indicative of what I was talking about that I followed years and years ago. If you were on the show, you would, if you were a fan of the show, listen to the show, listen to the network back then, you would have heard me talking about how they would manipulate and change the information and change the data. And so the Cities of Tomorrow link is up there, and you can look at that, and you could just make that decision for yourself, and it's in a PDF form. They have to take down my website. They have to take me down. They have to take it all away for it to go away, and then I have bigger problems than whether or not I was able to provide you with a file that's open. There's no reason why I should ever get in trouble for it. It's the WEF's. It's their most recent available information on the Cities of Tomorrow, and you can go to the website yourself and find it if you want to, but the link is there, the PDF is there. It should be there for as long as, you know, as close to forever as the internet may ever provide, as websites may ever provide. I guess we'll see. There's also a really fantastic thing from The Onion there, something to I shared just a little bit of fun. It's a slideshow, one of these click through it, clickbait kind of things. It's not as bad as some of them as far as I'm trying to actually sell you something with each picture. You get right to the picture. It's right there in the middle of the screen, and the quote and the information is right there at the top. You don't have to scroll. You don't have to move. It just click the button and click through the little slideshow. And it's a slideshow of things to say to someone who refuses to vote. And it's hilarious because it's, you know, it's all those wonderful claims that people like myself make, but that get sort of a little bit of a laugh sometimes, you know, about how our government officials work so hard at gerrymandering, you know, the changing of districts and renaming of citizens and how people can vote, and just totally messing around with the thing. And of course, voting is available to everyone. If you're, you know, over 18, you have an ID, you're an American citizen, you don't have a felony on your record, you have time during these are all things that, as an anarchist and as somebody who finds that voting is just ridiculous, just a funny little thing. The local voting's different. There's a little more impact there, but it still ultimately amounts to the same thing as it is to putting up political and social opinions out there for consideration by committee instead of by individual. What to say to someone who refuses to vote. This is a good start, but you need to convince your friends not to vote as well. That's great. Fine. More votes for me. Yeah. I voted twice. You can trade your votes in for favors at a later date. There's many more of them on there. The link's there at towardanarchy.com. And while you're there, you can look for a good cop. His name is Gomez. They're still looking for him. They haven't found him. The detective is looking around looking for Gomez. Have you seen Gomez? Who's Gomez? We have no records of Gomez working here ever. Because Gomez was supposed to play the part of the good cop. It's just a funny little meme that you can share around. And 512-248-8252, that's the number. If you want to jump in, there was a couple of things. So there's the Hawaii thing that is on the agenda, that's on everybody's conversation piece. They're talking about, you know, is it climate change? Is it government failures? Is it political failures? Is it individual failures? I think it came out this week. I think it's obvious, and I had talked about it while it was happening, that it was probably a socialist infrastructure problem, just one of these many problems that happens when politics runs up against nature and nature is not allowed to do what it's supposed to do, or we as a people, as individuals, come in and change nature, mess around with it, and then don't follow through, do the things necessary to get along with that nature, as it were.
You are going to go into the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number 2.
Who is number 1?
You are number 6.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Every single week, this song brings something to mind, and this week is no different. Usually it's because my mind is on, I'll be playing the drums here, because that's the first thing I do as soon as I'm done with the show, is I step out of this chair and I step into the studio, into the throne, and I start banging the skins, as it were. So that song always brings up something, but it's because there's the wonderful intro, Iron Maiden drums across the board. All their music, just fantastic. But the song in particular, just it's such a classic intro and drum piece. That whole song, not just the intro. And it always brings something to mind. And I've been watching, as I'm wont to do, some of these influencers and reels and TikToks and such that you find in the social media now. These are these short video clips, generally short video clips. Some of them are longer than others. Some of them are way too damn long. They're people doing things, dancing, woodwork, building a engine, whatever it is. It's just everything. It's anything. It's whatever it is. It's cops preaching the state to you. It's so much. It's loonies preaching conspiracy theories to you and truths you're not supposed to know. And cures, and it's what life is, but in sort of 1 minute video segments. And one of the fun ones that I came across not too long ago is this drummer. I haven't caught his name yet. I just enjoy watching this stuff. I'm not I'm a bad fan. I watch this guy, and he's just amazing. And it's silly amazing because he plays just this high speed metal. And he does it with one hand. Most of that's his shtick, is his shtick with his stick. he plays with one hand, and he just, it's just amazing. And it's funny because I will do that too. I'll have something in my other hand, and cigar, something like that, drink, whatever, and I'll keep the beat going with one hand. But to watch this guy, I mean, he gets those trills. I mean, he just rap, 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 but he gets it all out of one hand, and it's back and forth, and he just feels it's amazing. And my only thing about it is that it's a shtick. That's what it is. It's not, and that's not to say that he's not good at playing the drums. He's fantastic. He's amazing at playing the drums. Don't get me wrong on that at all. But there's a limited value in that. And my first thought of it was, I remember coming up, oh, it must have been 14, 15 years old, something like that. My friend Eric, he played a lot of guitar. I only dabbled myself, and he's really good at it. He plays still to this day. He plays very, very well. His father played, and he picked it up from him. And of course, we played in bands together, and from jazz bands to high school marching bands to rock bands, performing in, you know, in local bars and dives and things. He's just great at it. But I just remember we couldn't have been maybe 13, 14 years old, maybe 15. I know we weren't driving yet, that's for sure. Maybe my oldest friends were driving, they're, you know, within a couple of years. So we were fairly young. And I just remember this kid down the street from Eric. I want to say his name was Eric too, but I'm confusing him with another Eric that was also a guitar player. There's too many Erics all of a sudden as I'm trying to remember this. But at any rate, my friend lived down the street from another gentleman, young, a little bit older than us. He's probably in his early 20s, and he could shred. But that, it seemed like that's all he could do, though. If you ask him to play sort of a classical guitar kind of thing, I'm not sure that he was able to do that. But if he could, fast and metally, and it was all fantastic and everything. And I just remember Eric aspiring to be like that. And I see, man, why? Okay, I get. Speed, I get that. That's cool. It's what I love. Metal. I'm a metalhead. Was then, am now, still. But it has its place, and it's not the only thing. And it's certainly not the measure of a good guitar player. The ability to speed through the lyric as fast as you can, the lick as fast as you can, not the lyric as fast as you can, isn't the measure of a good instrumentalist, and that's all there is to it. It's the precision, it's the quality of the sound in doing it. There's so many more things involved in it, and whether it appeals to the individual who's listening to it, the speed metal thing, the fast guitar, like, it has a limited appeal. If it didn't, it would be bigger. It would be what was called pop music, and not the crap that's called pop music. So it has a limited appeal. And so, but it has its place. And I just remember, as all of us, all of the friends at the time, because Eric, he wasn't depressed or something about it, but he was sort of down on himself that he wasn't that fast. And he said, well, first of all, you've only been playing seriously for a couple of years, and you spent a lot of that time on trying to figure out your hair. Jesus Christ, the amount of hairspray. God, I'm so glad I never did that. But Eric did, man. He jumped right in. He had that, whoa. Yeah, if you could just picture the 80s, we're talking about the 80s here. We're talking about the 80s metal scene, everything from the lighter metal, the Motley Crue and stuff like that, all the way up through, you know, Slayer and Venom and any of the death, just the speed metal, the Overkill, amazing, wonderful bands, amazing, wonderful music, but not the be-all, end-all of it. And I just remember us telling him that you're a fantastic guitar player, and maybe someday you'll be that fast, and maybe you'll never be that fast, but you're still a great guitar player, and you should strive to be, as I say all the time on this show, better than you were yesterday. As opposed to comparing yourself to someone else and trying to be better than they are, and it all came to mind with the sound and this drummer that I watch on the reels, because he gets a lot of shade because of that. And I hear it because it was one of the first things that I thought of too when I saw it. It's, oh man, this is amazing. Oh, it's fast, but kind of pointless. Except it's obviously it's not pointless. It's not pointless for him. He does well. You know, people from bands like Slipknot or somebody like that will say, well, here, play our song with, you know, and they're just amazed by him there because they're amazing musicians too. And so we all get it. But he gets shade from all over the place. It's weird. Just it's internet shade. It's haters. So here's another good example of that. These just hate for no reason at all. Because you at most because you expect something different than what you're getting, or you want something different than what you're getting from the person who's giving it to you. and so you want drums, you want a different drum, you want a different drum beat, you want drums that you can groove to, not that maybe that's your thing. Okay, fine. Great movie came out not too long ago. I don't know how well it did overall. It's one of the ones. Everything has suffered from COVID, and it'll be interesting to see how things get really bad with the writer's strike and all that continuing as that goes forward with the future of movies. Certainly, the short term future of movies. My own father, I asked him about it, and it would take me a second to pull up his quote. I don't remember what, but I did capture it. I did keep it because as a Hollywood insider, somebody who's worked in Hollywood for decades, a hardworking Hollywood person, not one of these, glitz and glamour up on the front page stars, the hardworking people, the real people in the background, or not quite as far in the foreground. He's had plenty of roles. He's not always working behind the scenes or behind the camera or doing you know, stage work or stuff like that. But he said that he doesn't agree with it. Generally speaking, he doesn't agree with it, and I think that's probably true. And I thought this before I asked him about it. I assumed that this was true, that most of the hardworking people in Hollywood call it BS because, one, most of them already have their protections. There are some that don't. The ones that come to mind are the animators for Marvel movies. They don't have a lot of protections, you know, a lot of these stage workers and the people in the background, the hard workers, they have protections, they have unions, they have insurance, they have for a long time because they've been at it for a long time. This old new thing with the different outlet for the distribution of movies and media and is a is a problem for the rich people. It's not a problem for the hard workers, the people that make it happen, because they want their work everywhere, anywhere, all the time, and they'll take what they can get for it because they do the work because they love it. It's their art. It's their life. A lot of these other people are in it for the money. Certainly the producers and that's why you get a disconnect from between them and their highest paid people, because they're getting a big chunk of money that these other guys aren't getting included in. Well, apparently the real Hollywood, the real workers in Hollywood, don't agree with it. And not only do they not agree with it, generally speaking, they don't see an end to it, any short-term end to it at all. But speaking of Marvel, speaking of CG, so a great movie came out here not too long ago, and I'm not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which was awesome. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. I really enjoyed it. I liked it. But Marvel has apparently a good dungeon full of people producing their animation, because DC for some reason cannot get it right. You follow this show, you know this. I've talked about this. Not that I ramble on about movies and TV a lot, but when I do, if something like this comes up, of course it's going to be about a superhero movie. Comic book shop owner, it's going to be related, so I'm going to have talked about it, and I've talked about in the past how DC's CGI, the computer graphics, is just garbage. It just sucks. It's so bad that I wonder why they do it. I wonder why they can't get better. When you can look at a Marvel movie, when you can look at the Transformers, the Hasbro movie, you can look at something like those that are just top end, top shelf. No expense has been spared. It's, unless, of course, you're the people actually doing the animation. This is a whole other item. What can you do? These poor bastards don't know how to contract for themselves and can't make themselves the best product out in the space and capitalize on their value for it. So they have to get together as a gang and beat up on their employer instead of doing, hey, let's see, while we're on the conversation of superheroes and Marvel and what happened in the 90s, what happened in 1990, 1991 in the comic book industry when they wouldn't pay them what they wanted to pay, when they wouldn't give them credit for their characters, when they wouldn't they broke off. They broke off into Image and Dark Horse and any number, Valiant, so many that have come and gone. All those are still there. Top Cow still there. All those main ones, they broke off. They started their own businesses. They've become hugely successful. And Marvel and DC died after that. There's a reason why Marvel is owned by DC. There's a reason why DC is owned by Warner Brothers. It is because they were dead properties and dead companies after kicking themselves right square in the sack repeatedly with bad product. The same thing that they're doing now, and finding out that as the industry shrinks and as the usage of comic books in general across the board shrinks, they're finding this out the hard way. But and there's a reason why Marvel again will be another company, or it'll end up getting sold off. And I imagine that if James Gunn is not able to do something with the DCU, that it'll be sold off too from Warner Brothers. They'll become their own entities again. Hopefully, maybe who knows? Hopefully, they are able to keep all of their properties. If they do leave, that was one of the big problems. So that's what happened. These all these creators that go away and they start their own business and they do really well and they make an impact on the business and they take a chunk out of the leaders, even though it's just a little chunk, it's enough of a chunk, it's enough of a hit, and the leaders themselves have done themselves in so many times with the poor writing and multiple covers and bad characters, just everything that they've done to destroy themselves, and they're not able to really recover from it, and you end up selling your property. You end up selling Spider-Man off to the Japanese, off to Sony. You end up selling the X-Men off to your biggest, your most valuable product. That's why they started with the Avengers and Captain America and those characters. Not that you would call them B characters. They kind of were for a time period. Certainly the A characters were Spider-Man and the X-Men before the Avengers come along, but they had to start there with the Avengers. They had to create their universe there with Iron Man and Captain America and the Hulk and those characters, because they sold off their biggest properties because they had such bad business practices at the time. So I watched the Flash movie here, and the CG bad. Awesome around the Flash and in a lot of the Flash things, no problem, but that's all blurry lightning stuff. It's all really easy to do. When you get down to the minutia, when you get down to sort of Batman, his cowl is CG. Oh God, it's so terrible. And this is just so much mixed in CG in this initial race right at the beginning of the movie, and it just hit me immediately. But otherwise, the movie was great. It was hilarious. I don't know what you know of or think of Ezra Miller. You don't know him. You've only heard what's in the press. You know these people are weird. I've told you before not to. It's not about these creators. They're human. They're people. They're flawed. It's not about these actors. These are not the things that you're supposed to be enjoying per se when you go to these things, when you experience somebody's creativity, their art, when you go to a movie, when you buy a comic book, when you watch a cartoon show, whatever it is. You're supposed to be enjoying that work and what you get out of it, not placing that work in the context of the person who created it. Because if you do that, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're not allowing yourself to participate in something that you enjoy or could potentially enjoy. You're doing so based on a misunderstanding of how that works. Maybe you don't like who that person is, but you're not the deciding factor in how that person is received publicly. And for you to dismiss or to hate on somebody's art when it's beautiful, when it's right, when it works, when it's good, because you don't like that person, you don't like their politics, you don't like their beliefs, you don't understand them, you don't know them, that's a disservice to yourself. You're not doing anything to them. You're not harming them. You hate on Ezra Miller because you heard in the news that he's a little bit wonky and maybe had anybody who's been in a relationship, you know how that stuff can blow out. Be blown out of proportion, especially when you involve the state. So unless and until you know that guy, unless and until you're abused by that guy, he hurts somebody you love, hurts somebody you know, hurts you, you don't know them. You don't know the truth, and you'll never know the truth. And that's the whole the whole Johnny Depp thing, and there's so many of it. Just here, stop idolizing people. It's not necessary to enjoy their artwork, that's for sure. And your idolizing them or not idolizing them, as it were, isn't going to change who they are, and it's not going to change their popularity. You can, White Knight, jump on your horse and ride out there and, woohoo, no, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go here. You got to boycott Disney because, you know, they might be doing something with something and have some different ideas and maybe some rainbow things or something. But man, you just took a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of different things for a whole lot of reasons and lumped them into one lousy position based on your misunderstanding, your worldview, and you're dismissing everything else, everyone else that is good, is working hard, is doing the right thing by people around them and in the world around them, not just immediately around them. You're dismissing all of that for a name or a label or a political view, something that you don't like. There's something wrong with that, and that something comes back to you. So work it out, I guess. It's funny to me because it's a hater thing, and that hate, it comes from a place of ignorance and a lack of empathy. So you lack understanding and you don't care. And this is coming from a guy who says that I don't understand everything and I don't care. So if I'm pointing a finger, you're really screwing it up. I just caution you that if you can see it, if you can take and look at it in something that's not important, you know, talking about movies and comic books, and these have very little importance. They're very, very important to the people who make them. They're very important to the people who love those worlds and who love those characters and want to know about them. But they have absolutely no use to the rest of the world whatsoever. And that's perfectly fine. And that's the way that you should look at it. If it doesn't work for you, if it doesn't matter for you, okay, that's cool. I get it. I deal with people who have this hater syndrome. Not that I'm saying you're a hater, but I'm cautioning you to not be. That's the point I'm getting at. I want you to step back and stop yourself before you are a hater, before you make that snap decision about something, about someone, about some idea, before you understand it. You get it before you've done the research, before you've applied the critical thinking, before you've experienced it yourself to be able to enjoy it. I get it all the time in the geek circles, in the comic book shop, with these movies and with these characters and anything that's in and around them, anything pop culture that's in and around them. There are the people who like them. There are the people who hate them. There are people who don't know what they are and whether or not they can like or hate them. And they've heard good things and they've heard bad things. And there was, you know, the Flash movie, so much hate. This is one example, just so much hate about it. And so much of it misdirected at the Ezra Miller thing and the fact that he wasn't fired. He wasn't disciplined by Warner Brothers. DC didn't do something about him. Well, if he's done something to someone, somebody, or their property, they and the law are there to handle that. That's not necessarily for anyone else to decide. I think this idea that you should disassociate yourself with a larger idea or group based on the actions or understanding of one individual. Man, that's a slippery slope for you right there. Sounds like that's a wrap, folks. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.